Welcome to the Deep Dive. We have a highly specific and maybe deceptively simple mission today. We're unpacking the immense significance of just one single finding in the world of, well, high-stakes finance. Our source material really centers on this one declaration. Buyers seek clarity on post-settlement transaction costs. Now, this isn't some headline about quarterly earnings. It feels more like a market-wide scream for help, almost. The sheer fact that sophisticated buyers are making this specific demand tells us, I think, everything we need to know about where risk truly hides today.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating here is the absolute clarity of the friction point. It's so specific. We're not talking about, you know, standard due diligence missing a crack in the foundation or something obvious. We are talking about highly specific, often latent financial and regulatory costs. Costs that only really materialize after the deal is legally done, after the closing ceremony. This demand, well, it signals a deep structural problem, a problem in current valuation and risk transfer methods, particularly in things like complex M&A, large structured finance deals, or, you know, massive asset transfers.
Okay, let's unpack the story behind this demand then. For you, the listener, we're going to try and help you understand why this lack of clarity presents such a potent and sometimes disastrous surprise for buyers. You know, what tools are failing to protect them, and maybe what new market standards are being demanded to solve this fundamental issue of, like, delayed sticker shock. Let's start with that first component, transaction costs. Now, when we talk about transactions, say, buying a company for $500 million, we usually think of costs as the immediate quantifiable stuff, right? Lawyer fees, advisor costs, transfer taxes, underwriting, things you know before closing. So what category of financial exposure falls under the definition of a transaction cost when it pops up after the deal is supposedly done?
That differentiation is absolutely key to this entire discussion. It really is. We have to separate, you know, ongoing operational expenses, like, say, a plant needing a new roof next year that's just business, from these true post-settlement transaction costs. The latter type, this is a cost that's directly tied to the transfer of ownership itself or the specific nature of what was acquired, but crucially, the obligation or the actual expense only crystallizes after the deal closes. You can think of maybe three main buckets here. First, latent liabilities. Imagine an undisclosed existing contamination issue, something that requires a court-mandated cleanup 3 months after closing. Boom. Unexpected cost. Second, regulatory horizon costs, maybe a change in international tax law or a new environmental mandate that's actually triggered by the acquisition structure itself. This could lead to an unexpected multi-million dollar fine or maybe a required system overhaul a year down the line, again, post-settlement. And third, integration shock. And this one is huge, honestly. The IT systems integration, maybe it was budgeted at, say, $20 million. Turns out it actually cost $60 million. Why? Because the seller had fundamentally misrepresented, maybe not even intentionally, the platform's underlying stability or compatibility.
Wow, okay. That dramatically shifts the definition of risk then. It's no longer just about detecting existing flaws during due diligence. It's more about anticipating how the regulatory landscape or the integration reality will interact with the asset after the transfer.
Yeah.
But if these are such potentially large sums, and like you said, the buyers are often sophisticated firms, why haven't these costs already been somehow quantified and priced into the initial deal? Is this a failure of due diligence, or is it more a failure of the contractual tools themselves?
Well, it's often a failure of both, to be honest, but I'd argue primarily the contractual tools because, you know, they just have limits. Due diligence gives you a snapshot in time, right? The picture of that moment.
Yeah.
And the seller, yeah, they provide warranties, guarantees about the business's status, but those warranties are almost always capped financially or they expire pretty quickly under what's called a sunset clause. So if the environmental remediation cost turns out to be $50 million, but the indemnity cap in the contract, the maximum the seller has to pay, is only $10 million, well, the buyer is immediately out $40 million they didn't expect.
Right, okay. And that's where it gets really interesting, focusing on the post-settlement part. The settlement, that's meant to be the financial and legal moment of finality. You sign, money changes hands, it's done. It's supposed to be the moment the risk is fully transferred and ideally quantified. So the fact that the market is complaining loudly about costs after this point implies that the mechanisms designed to manage that risk transfer, things like escrow accounts and indemnification clauses, they're just fundamentally insufficient against these modern, often contingent liabilities.
Precisely. Spot on. Escrow accounts, for example, they're typically held for a pretty limited period, maybe 12 to 18 months max, and they usually contain a fixed, relatively small percentage of the total purchase price. They're good for covering, you know, easy-to-find breaches of warranty that show up quickly. They cannot possibly cover complex long-tail risks, things like delayed tax assessments in foreign jurisdictions, or maybe unforeseen liabilities tied to pension funds that only really materialize years later. This post-settlement cost, it's really a reflection of risk exposure extending far beyond the typical warranty period or escrow holdback time. The contract provides legal closure, sure, but not necessarily financial finality. And this means the buyer cannot truly rely on the initial valuation, the price they paid, as representing the total predictable cost of owning that asset.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, that post-settlement element implies that the whole framework we use for risk assessment might be, well, kind of outdated. It seems like it's built for identifying present defects, things you can see or find now, not so much for these future contingencies. And if the buyer is going to be responsible for an asset for, say, 10 years, but the contract protections only really last maybe 2 years, they've got 8 years of potentially unprotected risk exposure.
Which naturally creates this demand for predictability, right?
Exactly. That's the core of the demand.
Okay, let's move to maybe the most telling component here. Buyers seek clarity. This isn't just passive acceptance of, you know, that's how things are. It's an active generalized demand across the market for standardization. What does this desire, this demand for clarity, imply about the current reality? It implies the current system is, frankly, characterized by a lot of ambiguity. Maybe chaotic reporting, sector-specific jargon that obscures things, and sometimes even intentional ambiguity. If buyers are actively seeking clarity, they are effectively demanding two key things. One, better disclosure standards from sellers, and two, stronger, more explicit contractual definitions of who covers what, when. They're asking for standardization on how sellers quantify risks that are inherently contingent, inherently uncertain. For example, instead of just a vague statement about being in regulatory compliance, buyers are starting to demand explicit forward-looking integration cost models. Or maybe quantified assessments of what we called regulatory horizon risk, an actual estimate of potential costs based on anticipated legislative changes down the road.
It almost sounds like buyers are trying to shift the burden of quantifying that future risk back onto the seller, or maybe onto the advisory firms involved. Like, if you can't quantify the future risk of this asset you're selling, how can you justify selling it at a premium price today?
That is exactly the leverage point they're aiming for, yes. When ambiguity reigns, buyers have little choice but to apply an excessively high risk premium to the deal price just to compensate for that big unknown factor.
Yeah.
But this actually makes transactions less efficient overall. It probably limits deal flow because prices get inflated by uncertainty. So by demanding clarity, buyers are effectively trying to reduce that uncertainty premium. They want to convert that unknown risk into quantified, manageable risk. They want to be able to price the true cost of these latent liabilities accurately, right from day one, even if the bill comes later.
Okay, so if the traditional legal mechanisms like indemnity caps are often failing, and maybe the accounting standards are too focused on the present moment, where do buyers turn? What kind of practical solutions are actually emerging in the market to meet this demand for post-settlement predictability?
Yeah, this is where things get really interesting. We're seeing a fascinating intersection of finance, law, and technology is starting to emerge. The market is definitely starting to look beyond just traditional insurance products and standard legal frameworks. One key area is definitely sophisticated modeling. Financial modeling getting smarter. For instance, if potential environmental liability is the big concern, you might need AI or machine learning models, models that can process vast amounts of jurisdictional data, regulatory filings, scientific reports, all to better predict the likelihood and potential cost of future regulatory intervention in that specific area. This moves due diligence from being just a static report, a snapshot, to becoming a dynamic, forward-looking risk forecast.
That makes perfect sense. The risk is often complex, computational almost, so the solution needs to be computational too. But what about the contractual side? How do you actually enforce these protections when the risk window might be 5 or 10 years, not just 18 months?
Yeah, good question. That really pushes us towards more advanced contractual technology. Specifically, things like smart contracts are being explored. Imagine a contractual agreement that doesn't just sit in a file cabinet, but sits on a distributed ledger, like a blockchain. governed by predefined, automatically verifiable triggers. So instead of waiting years for a lawsuit to happen when a cost finally materializes, certain funds could be automatically released from a long-term specialized escrow account, maybe held securely by a neutral third-party trustee. And this release happens automatically upon the verifiable occurrence of a pre-agreed liability trigger, like, say, a specific new tax law being officially enacted and published.
Wow, that could potentially transform the whole post-settlement period from being a source of conflict and lawsuits into something more like an automated, predictable mechanism. You're not eliminating the risk itself, but maybe you're eliminating the uncertainty and the fight around who pays for it and when.
Absolutely, that's the goal. The buyer is essentially saying, look, we know future risk exists, we're not naive, but we need the system, the market infrastructure, to evolve so that the full predictable cost of ownership is transparent from the very start. Even if some of those costs only actually materialize years down the line, it's really an evolution in trust and transparency. And it's being driven by the sheer cost of being unpleasantly surprised after the deal is done.
So wrapping this up a bit, what does this all mean for you, the listener? Especially if you are maybe advising on or negotiating a complex transaction yourself. I think it means you can no longer view the deal closure as the finish line. Not really. The true success of the deal seems increasingly defined by predictable performance, predictable costs in the years after closing.
Your risk management focus absolutely has to shift. Radically, perhaps. You need to start questioning how valuation models are accounting for risks that are contingent, maybe probable, but not yet certain. You absolutely must challenge the traditional limitations of things like indemnity caps and short sunset clauses. Are they really adequate for the risks involved? And if the seller's disclosure isn't clear enough regarding potential future integration costs or possible regulatory shifts, well, that ambiguity is now your primary leverage point in negotiations because the market itself is demanding that specificity.
So we've taken this one, highly specific market demand buyers requiring clarity on costs after the settlement, and shown how it actually eliminates some deep structural problems. Problems in risk assessment, and maybe the failure of traditional contractual tools to keep up in a globalized, complex world.
Indeed. And the drive for this post-settlement transaction cost clarity, it underscores a really powerful truth, I think. The true value of any major acquisition isn't just the initial purchase price, it's the predictable cash flow and the total cost of ownership over time. This demand is fundamentally changing how major assets are valued. It's forcing advisory firms, legal teams, everyone involved to adopt technology and methodologies that are built for future contingency, not just for past inspection. And building on that, maybe a final thought to leave you with. If the cost of this ambiguity is now so high that it's actively driving sophisticated buyers toward demanding technological solutions like advanced AI modeling and potentially smart contracts, how long will it be until these kinds of tools become not just best practice, but maybe mandatory regulatory requirements for disclosing contingent liabilities in large transactions? That's the question maybe for you to mull over as you watch the next generation of deal structures emerge.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into what is clearly an evolving and increasingly complex landscape for buyers everywhere. We hope this gives you a clearer view of why that final dollar of risk is often one that hasn't even materialized yet.